Welcome to each of you and greetings in Jesus' name again this morning. Delmar, I thought your prayer was a little unique because what I have here this morning is a lot of scripture. He said from hearing God's word preached, will be a lot of it read this morning. Not because it's an easy way out, but because of some of the things that God has been working on me with. I was asked the question this morning, are you ready to preach? And I don't know, John, do you ever get to where you feel like you're ready to preach? Reminded me of one of my siblings that's also a minister. I asked him this myself one time when he was visiting in the area for special meetings, and I asked him if he was ready. And he said, well, he said, it's this way. He said, there just comes a point where you have to just deliver. I don't feel necessarily that way this morning, but it is a little bit, I'm approaching it a little bit differently this morning than what I usually do. The way I was going to go, I will end up reading that scripture, but it went a lot of other ways in the meantime. What I have at the top of my notes is encouragement from the Psalms. Now, part of it that started this, I was sitting in my recliner this week, and I like to put my feet up after a tough day or a hard day, and as I moved my foot with no socks on, I noticed that tendon or muscle that goes down and pulls your foot up. And I thought, that thing has been doing that for 65 plus years. Still works pretty good. This old body hasn't had a lot done to it. It's been abused even. But it still functions pretty good. Yes, I've had 3 surgeries. Spent 2 nights in the hospital. Had a few stitches, a few other doctor visits. But the amazing thing through all of that is the body's ability to heal. Then I thought about man and his attempts to control or attempt type 2 words in here that I didn't want. Attempts to control his surroundings and how futile man has been in those attempts. Years ago, I was told that a greasable bearing will last about 6 years. And that's for those of you that, you know, a bearing is something that a shaft turns inside of and it gives it the ability to turn without wearing out so quickly. And they have a grease fitting on there that can grease that bearing. And then this man in the next breath said, you get a sealed bearing just like it, and it'll last about 72 months. Well, if you know math, it doesn't take you very long to figure out that 6 years and 72 months is the same thing. Now, if I'm very careful, I might be able to make that greasable bearing last a little longer than that. If I'm careful to not over-grease it, in other words, grease it enough that the seal pushes out and then it can get contaminated from the outside, or if I under-grease it, then it gets dry and rough and wears out. Remember talking to a man that was running an excavator, and this has been back in my previous life, back a lot of years ago. He was told by the manufacturers that those pins and that, now you know what an excavator is, right? It's a big machine. It's, a lot of people call it a big track hoe. It has a lot of moving joints. Most of them have bushings and not bearings. And he was told those things would last, those bushings would last for a certain length of time. Well, he was determined that they were going to last longer than that. And that man faithfully greased that thing twice a day. And when he took them out at the prescribed time, they couldn't detect anywhere. Why am I saying all this? Because after 65 years, this foot still works pretty good. And my other one too. These bodies made by Almighty God, yes, they wear out. But what do you have around that has lasted very long in your lifetime? And we do a lot of maintenance on it. I want to start out in, I wrote something down when we were in our memory work. I want to read just a couple of verses that I noticed. Next verses that we're going to be looking at says this, "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished." Talking about the flood. "But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." Man and his attempts to explain things and how things happen and why things happen and all this, forget one vital point. Maybe I shouldn't say one. Forget the vital point in their search for all these things. And that's God. God maintains what we see today. God maintains your body, my body. And yes, I thoroughly enjoy watching the red bud. Those things continue at the word of God. The same word that put it in existence, the same word that destroyed it by flood of Noah, that same word works today, is in control today. I want to start in Psalm 139. And this one pretty much relates, and I thought a pretty good starting point for some of the others. But Psalm 139 has been a favorite of mine for a lot of years. And I particularly wanted verses 13 through 18, but I'm going to start at verse 1. Probably won't make a lot of comments as I read through these psalms, and then on a couple of them, I want to read some writings of another person. Psalm 139, verse 1, "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me." I'll stop a little bit. Remember what we just read from 2 Peter, that word that put things in existence is still the word that controls things today. And that is the person, the individual that is searching us and knowing us, because he don't need to search us to know us, because he knows us. He made us. All right, continuing to read verse 2. "Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike unto thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in the secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, being yet unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. And as I think about God knowing everything about me from beginning to end, about you from beginning to end, He knows the day of our birth, He knows the day of our death. He knew what the surgeons were going to take out of my body before it ever happened. We can trust Him. Turn to Psalm 40. Part of what got some of my attention is using a book from some of the writings of Philip Keller, and tried to find a little bit about him because of some of the things he writes. Seems like early in his life he had a pretty good focus on how good he was and how much he could accomplish and all this kind of thing, and then he had a change of heart. He recognized that he's some little bit of nothing that is controlled by an almighty God. Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall hear it, many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. As I read that verse, there's a lot of things out there today about the things that we're facing in this world, about, I get a little bit I'm trying to think of the right word. I was going to say riled up a little, and maybe I do. When I hear things about what they need to do for climate change and all these other things, and I think back to some things, and you all have heard me say at least one of these probably. There was a drought, the water table was low, and wells were running dry, and smart people were talking about how many years it was going to take for that water table to get back up. You know how many years it took? A half a year. 6 months. It was above normal. Now think about the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico and all the dire consequences of that. And they were dire, okay? They were. I'm not going to minimize that. We've got an almighty God that took care of a lot of that stuff. And we'll read something more in a little bit. I'm sorry, I got sidetracked when I read that verse. Verse 4, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Let me stop there just a little bit, because that reminded me of our memory work this morning in Psalm 100. When he says, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart, he's not saying I haven't put it in there. He's saying I haven't kept it for me alone. Young people, memorize scripture while your mind is still fresh and young. I don't know how long it's been since I quoted Psalm 100. I don't know how long it's been since I memorized Psalm 100. But you know it, I could have said it by myself this morning. I can't quote 2 Peter 1 or 2 Peter 2 or 2 Peter 3 verses 1 through 4. But I can still quote Psalm 100, which I learned as a youngster. I still remember the first memory work we had in high school, the first year of the Christian Day School in Southeastern Conference. I was about ready to ask, do you remember what that was? Psalm 19. John Martin had us memorize scripture. And it was good. All right. Verse 11. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, Aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. For I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Just a short one here from verse 3 of Psalm 40, entitled The Treasures in Trusting. Human spirituality does not consist only of creeds, churches, biblical knowledge, or good deeds. It is made up as well from the humble art of learning to see and find the impress of my Father's hand in all the land. It is woven into the warp and woof of our little lives by sweet associations in the company of Christ, who knows about sparrows, lilies, and shells from the sea. Human spirituality comes to us afresh every day by His gracious Spirit, who touches us with the impress of wind and surf and sea and sky and 1,000 glorious sunsets over the shining shore of our days. All for free. All for the taking. If we will but pause in mid-stride to pick up the treasures of our God from between the tides of time, we can become richer in spirit than we ever dreamed. And I'm trying to learn that. When I see the beauties out there in nature this morning, it's not just about me having enjoyment in seeing that. It's about turning that focus of praise to God that gave it, that allows us to enjoy those things. Turn to Psalm 46. Probably one of the reasons I thought about this one, the heading in my Bible says the presence of God in calamity. And most of us know a little bit about that these days. COVID and sickness and broken arms and knots on heads and so forth. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolation he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. So where do we turn when we see all this turmoil around us? These things that I'm reading are not just for the psalmist, not just for David. They're for us today. Same God of David. Another reading, this is from verses 1 and 2, called Fire on the Mountain. And I want to read one of the verses from the RSV because it caught my attention. God is our refuge and strength, a tested help in trouble, in times of trouble. And so we need not fear, even if the world blows up. King James says, even though it's be removed. RSV said, even if the world blows up and the mountains crumble into the sea. God's still there. Out of fire on the mountain, new life will emerge. New growth will come. A fresh forest will be recreated. Perhaps the most dramatic demonstration of this process in modern times is the renewal of life on the devastated slopes of Mount St. Helens. Biologists and environmentalists have been startled and delighted to see the incredible resurgence of new life in areas utterly devastated and burned over by the volcanic eruption. Let me stop just there for a little bit. I didn't go back and read what was said by those environmentalists and biologists when that volcano erupted, but I can sort of imagine the devastation that was predicted that would never come back. Now, I'm just letting my mind wander here now. I'm not sure I know what I'm talking about. Continuing to read, our lofty western mountains have been born and shaped by fire. Their very character and contours are the end product of burning. Their grand silhouettes against the sky, their mantles of forest cover, grassy ranges, and glorious Alps lands all have been shaped by fire. Even the shining silver forests of stark, fire-scorched trees with their blazing carpets of native wildflowers came to beauty by their burning. O Father, I pray that your fire will burn the dross from my life so that your life can emerge in me. And then from verse 10, where it says, be still and know that I am God. Renewal in solitude. The joyous renewal that comes to the anguished soul in solitude assures me again and again of my Father's care that enfolds His earth children. If we are to know His compassion, if we are to sense His touch upon our torn spirits, if we are to feel the caress of His hand upon our wounded hearts, we must seek Him in solitude. It is no accident that His Spirit speaks to us with such clear perception as the psalmist wrote, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the earth. We modern people live so much amid turmoil, tension, and the trauma of a fractured world. So when death strikes or illness of terminal nature tears away the fragile fabric of our thin veneer of invulnerability, most men and women know not where to turn for shelter. It is as if they stand exposed, stripped, and shattered by the suffering and sorrow that has swept over them in a whirlwind of horror. Again and again, I have been through the storms of suffering with other human beings who really wondered if there would or could be a way out. Was there a place of peace? Was there some spot of stillness for the soul? My answer over and over is yes, but one must search and seek and find it in the presence of Jesus Christ, who is from everlasting to everlasting, who changes not across the centuries, who is eternal, creator of heaven and earth, yet also creator of my complex character. Thought about one of the songs that we sang this morning. One of the verses say this, mid restless crowds with all their noise and tumult, no rest, no leisure, find our spirits there. I better read that so the thought comes through correctly. No rest, no leisure, find our spirits there. Our vision fails, our sense of life's proportion, unless we seek the quiet place of prayer. That was from number 59 in the life song that we sang this morning. I want to go to Psalm 50. I want to read the first 15 verses here. The mighty God, even the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, that those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. And I want to read yet verse 23. In between there, it talks about what's going to happen to the wicked. Verse 23, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. One more short reading. This one's called An Attitude of Gratitude. It was a veteran missionary working amid the awful poverty, squalor, and degradation of India's poor who taught his children early, learn to look, observe quietly, think long thoughts, find what is beautiful, give humble thanks, recall it to mind often, refresh your soul in the gentle stream of our Father's bounty. To do this is to live with an attitude of gratitude. It is to discover fragments of loneliness in the most ordinary events of life. It is to search and seek and seize every evidence of bonuses bestowed by the gentle hands of our loving Father. We of the affluent 20th century have had our sensibilities seared, our appreciation jaded, by the easy overabundance of our days. Few amongst us know anything of the humble art of a lowly heart that can find inspiration in the soaring flight of a gull, or the exquisite shape of a shell, or the song of the surf. We of the West have, by our crude and crass culture, become so that we miss seeing the stars while looking at our spacecraft. Now, I'm going to stop there just briefly. Can't ask him what he meant by our spacecraft, but I think he's talking about our surroundings, our Earth. I don't think he's talking about the space station. Continuing to read, we know so little of the sublime because we are so attuned to the clash and crash of our civilization. We prefer crowds and mass displays to the enrichment of soul or uplift that can come to the person prepared to spend a few moments alone in company with Christ. I've had time to read that last sentence a few times. And we might think it's pretty far out for us. But we still like the elaborate, the exquisite, the whatever that's been taught to us by society. And too many times we miss. I want to read that one again. We prefer crowds and mass displays to the enrichment of soul or uplift that can come to the person prepared to spend a few moments alone in company with Christ. I want to finish up by reading what I started earlier in the week, and that's from Romans 12. And I thought about this. God talked, or through the psalmist, said he doesn't need our sacrifices, our burnt offerings, our bullocks, our lambs, that kind of thing. Romans 12 tells us what he wants from us. He wants us to be that sacrifice yielded to him. Starting at verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let me stop there just briefly. If you caught where my mind was going through the reading of these Psalms, and the psalmist exalting God, as we think about God from that perspective, it's only reasonable that we come back with this human living sacrifice. Verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Maybe I'll stop there just a little bit, and I'm not going to say much. Why is it that I think I was about ready to say so much of what my gift is? I guess it would be more fitting to why do I think so little of the gift that I have? Either one of them is a false concept. Because what I have is something that God gave. You know, I'm glad that you all don't have to listen to me preach every Sunday. I'm glad you get to listen to John preach. And I am glad for the gifts that God has given John and for his ability to use them. And I didn't ask John if I could do this, but you get where I'm coming from. Sometimes we get this puffed up feeling because of what we can do or what we are. Don't forget that it's God that gave it to you. You're just one member of the body to help the rest of the body glorify Christ. That's all I am. I'm not the whole body. You're not the whole body. But we helping each other with these gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, we can build each other up. Now, starting at verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. Let it be genuine. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be a kindly affection one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Ooh, I want to do that job. I can do it better than he can. Wrong concept. Put the same effort into it to honor Him. Verse 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Another phrase in that part of it that stood out to me was the end of verse 16. I get a pretty puffed up opinion of what I'm able to do sometimes. I'm sure you probably don't get that. But I came to the realization, if I'm wise in my own conceits, then there's nothing more to learn. John don't have anything to offer because I know it. John's got plenty to offer. Okay? But when John thinks he's got it all down pat and I don't have anything to offer him, then he's missed it too. Because then he thinks he's arrived. I can tell you, I haven't arrived. And I haven't even gotten to where I ought to be, okay? But I trust that as we think about who God is, what He has done in the past for us personally, and the realization that he hasn't changed. The one that brought the world into being by his word is keeping things today by that same word. Let's put our trust and confidence in him. We have a song, please.